This episode is sponsored by State Farm. You a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Well, look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers. They're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. Hey there, Stackers in Des Moines, Iowa, and in Minneapolis. I am coming to see you, not them, you. And I wanted to add something here from the editing bay before we press play on today's episode. I am going to be in Minneapolis on July 17th. That is true. We also know I'll be at Prize Brewing now, P-R-Y-E-S. That is in Minneapolis, stackybenjamins.com/Minneapolis to go to our Eventbrite to sign up. But you know what? If you can't make it to the Eventbrite and at the last minute you got nothing to do, just come on and say hi. I would love to reprise what we did last year in Minneapolis. It was so much fun. 6:30 p.m., Prize Brewing, July 17th. Then July 18th, Des Moines. My friend Adam Carroll, who has that fantastic TEDx video that millions of people have watched where he played Monopoly against his kids. Adam said, go to Global Brew. I said, okay, let's go to Global Brew. I left them a message. Found out the place is huge, said, yeah, we could just have a meetup there. Found out this morning, it is closed. It's closed forever. So as of right now, we're going to be at Peace Tree Brewing on Tuesday, July 18th, Des Moines. Peace Tree Brewing on July 18th. Hope you can join me on Tuesday as I make my way back home. All right. Stackybenjamins.com/Des Moines, by the way, for that. I will be coming to other places around the United States later, Stackers. But for now, I'm coming to your ears with another podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a big show, a real big shoe.
Live from Joe's mom's basement, it's the Stacking Benjamin Show. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and let's get reproductive. Wait, that's probably not right. Oh, it's productive. Honest mistake, or maybe wishful thinking. Either way, today our panel breaks down the best productivity hacks picked by the internet. Our panelist of honor or contractual obligation is none other than host of the Earn and Invest podcast, Doc G. Plus, the woman who puts the pro in productivity, Paula Pant. And straight from the People's 2021 Sexiest Man Alive, it's Paul Rudd. Nah, he couldn't make it. He's filming yet another Ant-Man, here to try and take his place as our own OG, who we think sometimes as the Cant-Man, but same thing, right? That's not all. Halfway through the show, I'll share my clean-cut trivia question that's sure to take our panelists by storm. And now, a guy who knows something about hacks, it's Joe Salcia.
Let me be the first one to say happy weekend to you, everybody. I am Joe Salcia. Hi, Average Joe Money on Twitter. Doug, nice open. Good way to get the weekend started. How are you, man?
Merci beaucoup.
That's good. Is that foreshadowing? Are you foreshadowing something that we may talk about later? Maybe
foreign language word. I know.
Let's go ahead and say hello to our panel, who's going to talk about productivity and hacking productivity this fine Friday. Mr. OG is here. You're a productive dude today, aren't you?
Today, yes. I have done three things today.
He said begrudgingly.
Yes. He wanted to do two, but he got done with three.
Yes.
Because he's so productive. And the woman who is always productive on a Friday, I'm sure, Paula Pant is here.
That's giving me a lot of credit, but today I have been unusually more productive than usual.
What's up with that?
It's a redundant statement.
Usually more productive than usual productive usual.
The Department of the Redundancy Department would like a word with you. Yeah,
precisely.
I think precisely is the good word there, Paula. And here back for a limited engagement again, Mr. Doc G's here. How are you, dude?
I'm good. This might be the most productive thing I do all week.
That's fantastic. Ooh. If that is, I feel bad for you. Anybody who's listened to a Friday episode of the Stacky Benjamin Show knows that we have an hour of good productivity, but then we're done. So that's it.
And that's how I like it. An hour a day, an hour a week. That's perfect.
It is fantastic. We're going to go through this list of 50 productivity hacks. Then we're getting our panelist productivity hacks because you guys are all very productive people. But before that, Doc, you know, I was thinking that, you know, when you're prescribing medicine to people, do you ever sit them down and maybe talk to them about, well, about this? This episode is sponsored by State Farm. You a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Well, look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers. They're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
And then, Joe, I swear to God, I said, you don't put the pill there. It's for your mouth. But he looked at me and he said, Doc, you got me all wrong. What I actually did with the pill is this.
It's Military Appreciation Month, and I want to share appreciation for one of our stackers I met in Cleveland for the second time. Keith just drove his car off the road, but Keith, a proud military member, I enjoyed seeing Keith. And you know what? Eric was there too, who was in the Marines, but both of these fine gentlemen served our country that I met in Cleveland. I want to give a shout out to them. And this Military Appreciation Month, Navy Federal Credit Union wants to celebrate not just Keith and Eric, but all their members who go above and beyond. Navy Federal offers member-only exclusive rates, discounts, and tools to empower their members and help them reach their goals. They offer 24/7 help from their U.S.-based member service centers. They offer resources like Best Cities After Service to help veterans transition to civilian life and Best Careers for Military Spouses to support our military families. All branches of the military, veterans, DOD employees, and their families are eligible for Navy Federal membership. Visit NavyFederal.org/celebrate this month, and you'll see all of our Military Appreciation Month offers and other Navy Federal offers. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. Wow, they did that?
I swear to God, and the runny nose went away right away.
Your mileage may vary. I wonder if that's going to be where they put the moink ad for the bacon. You just wonder. We've got Doc G here. We've got OG. We got Paula. We got Doug. We're talking about hacks, productivity hacks. So let's move. This piece comes to us from, what is it? Best50hacks.co. Yes, appropriately named. And they have three things on here. They've got their top hacks, the newest hacks, and the hot hacks. And you can go there and vote if you want. We'll have the link in our show notes, and then things get upvoted. So, Paula, let's start with the number one thing on this list that the internet has voted on. Almost 2,200 people at the time of this recording this say that showering in the morning is the number one hack on their list. Is that the number one hack? You're looking like, no.
Not even remotely. First of all, I personally, I mean, to each their own, I have never been a morning shower person. I want to shower at night because I've got sunblock on, as one should, and you want to get the sunblock off your skin before you go to bed. So nighttime showering, best way to go.
Doc G, you think shower in the morning, great hack?
So I tend to shower in the morning because it wakes me up. But I'll tell you, those days that I don't shower in the morning, I smell so bad. Everyone leaves me alone. I get a lot done. I mean, no one bugs me. They stay away. I'm good.
The don't shower hack works for you. Oh, gee, ever do the cold shower thing? Because, you know, you see all the medical studies that say that ice cold shower kind of gets your body moving.
Yeah, no. No interest in that whatsoever. Yeah, that's not me. I'm a double shower, like at night and in the morning.
Shower with people?
That's just called a 30-minute shower.
That would be great too. But no, I got to do the wake up in the morning thing right away, unless I'm going right to the gym, which is never. But then I'm like, Paula, I don't want to go to bed stinky. Like I got sunblock everywhere.
I do like though, OG, sticking with you, the number two and on this list, don't multitask. I think that's a great like anti-hack, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I guess they say statistically you can't do it, right? Your brain can only think of one thing at a time. And every time you try to change subjects, you lose the efficiency that you're on. I believe that. That's a good one.
I find that one difficult, though, to buy. I mean, I get that I should do one thing at a time, but I have a very active brain, like Paula filled in for you for 9 months. We both have ADD, and it's just hard to turn it off. Are you able to stay pretty focused on a single task?
Oh, I cannot multitask. If two tasks both demand the same skill, like they both demand cognition, absolutely not, can't multitask. But if there are two tasks that demand different skills, so for example, walking on a treadmill and listening to an audiobook, I can walk and listen at the same time.
Wow.
Don't like to brag, but
I was thinking smoking a cigar and drinking bourbon, but yeah, I could do that at the same time. That's definitely something I'm good at.
One of those might be slightly healthier than the other one. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Doc G, you have trouble multitasking or single tasking?
So here's the problem. I grew up multitasking because as a doctor, I was always talking to one patient and getting paged and doing paperwork and doing four things at once. But I'll tell you, it is really distracting and it still is the bane of my existence because even though I do part-time doctor work, I'm still always answering texts on my phone and I find it's just really disruptive. So I'm looking forward to the day where I don't have to multitask because I think I could concentrate more.
Getting some movement in is next on the list. I'm going to take out, there's a couple in here that are advertisements and how those got voted up. I kind of talks about the quality of the site, but Doc G, sticking with you, get some movement in before starting work, go for a walk, short bike ride.
I don't know for me if it has to be before work, but getting movement in periodically during the day, I think sets my brain at ease so that I can do some of the harder work. So I know, for instance, if I go take a nice walk, then I can sit down and do some of the more thought work to, let's say, writing or thinking about something that's much more difficult. So it kind of slows my brain down in a really good way.
I do find that the same for me. I'm able to focus much more if I have some exercise in me before I start. OG, you talked about going to the gym first thing in the morning. Is that a good hack for you?
Yeah, no, not in the least bit. I am 100% not a morning person in any way, shape, or form. I get up around the same time every day, which is right at the crack of about 8 o'clock. And, but I do the walk thing, you know, probably 4 days a week. I'll string together, you know, 2.5-3 miles of just out, shuffling along. But, I'm an afternoon gym person.
I can't do it. I can't do it.
Afternoon break.
And this is, I mean, study after study shows that you need to know yourself, right? I've seen that thing that says you are either a robin, which is most people up super, you talk about crack of up at dawn. Most people are what they call eagles, which is people between 7 and 8, 7 and 8:30. And then there's owls, which are the night owls who are very much known for creativity, but knowing yourself, I think really helps. But for me being a robin, if I don't exercise first thing in the morning, I won't do it. Like I got to do it before my brain wakes up. Paula, exercise, big thing for you.
See, so what I've just started doing now that I'm done with school and like restarting my routine, I've been thinking about this a lot actually, because I want to nail the routine now that I'm in that period of transition. Yeah. And what I've come to is my cognitive energy peaks first thing in the morning and then it also peaks later in the day. But there's this inverse bell curve where in the middle of the afternoon,
2 o'clock.
I've got a, you know, huge slump. So my strategy is working out during that mid-afternoon slump.
Oh.
Basically, the way that I'm trying to, the routine that I'm trying to build is wake up at 7, work from 8 until about noon, and then take a break from noon to 3, maybe noon to 4, where I just like have lunch, work out, do whatever, and then from 4 to 7 or 4 to 8, be back on it again.
That's funny. My hack for that time, because I won't work out then. I know myself, I've tried for many years to work out during that slump and I don't. If I have a break there, I will say, okay, I'll go to the gym tomorrow. I'm taking a nap and I'll take a nice, like literally 25 minute nap and I'm good. If I sleep for an hour, well, I'm in big trouble.
That's good for your health too.
It is, but then I don't work out, right? So I got to get the workout in, and it's both not either or. But for me, what I like to do during that afternoon slump, I schedule my meetings for then. So I have to be in it. Like I have to kind of slog through it. If I'm in a meeting with someone, I will work and I will get stuff done and I won't even feel the slump. But if I'm not, then I feel the slump in a big way. Dr. You're nodding your head. What's your hack for getting through that mid-afternoon slump?
So I try to do moments of intense work followed by off periods. So depending on the day, but yeah, the kind of early afternoon, I'm not so great. So I'll do intense work in the morning and then I'll definitely give myself a few hours off there. So I think that's kind of the easiest way to be focused and thoughtful all at once and then just kind of let your mind go and relax.
That's funny because people talk about the Pomodoro technique, right? This work for 20 minutes at a time, and studies show we don't focus for more than 20 minutes at a time anyway. You ever try that, OG? What's your hack for that?
I've never heard of that ever, but trying to keep meetings to, 45 minutes, I think is pretty well known. You pass an hour of a speech or something like that and it's gone.
Is there another one on this list, Paula, that really lights you up that you saw yourself completely agreeing with?
I like the one about batch your emails. Don't answer them too often. It says ruthlessly pursue zero inbox, which I disagree with.
Me too.
But I like the other component of it. Batch your emails. Don't live in the inbox.
When do you batch them?
Oh, once every 10 months.
Sorry, I haven't gotten back to you.
I see in 2021, you sent me an email.
Oh, there was an opportunity. You wanted to hire me as a speaker 2 years ago and pay me $100,000 to tour with Taylor Swift, and I missed it.
I see in the email that you sent me, you were saying we're looking forward to 2020, which we think is going to be a great year ahead.
And yes, it was. Thank you. But on that note, the reason I asked you that, Paula, is because I'm sure you've seen this yourself too. Like, it's a mistake to do your email first thing in the morning because you're working on somebody else's agenda, not yours.
Right, exactly. The way that I think about it is there's inbound and there's outbound. Inbound is like that deluge, however you pronounce
deluge,
that.
Deluge, yeah.
Yeah, of what everyone wants from you. And it comes through email, through WhatsApp, through text messages, through Instagram DMs, through Twitter. It's just like bing, bing, bing. It's never ending and from every venue. But then there's what you want to create and put out there in the world. And create is kind of a lofty term. So it might just be that you want to, quote unquote, create a couple of emails that you want to send out. It might be that you want to create a piece of writing, like it could be something creative, or it could just be like some task that you want to tackle that very well may be in your inbox. But one way or the other, do the outbound first.
I have a difficult time with that, though, because when I go do the outbound, I see the inbound and I find myself, I see myself cheating and looking. And so I try to batch those two later for when I do the inbound. I go into email all at once, because if I go in, it is going to be a cesspool no matter what I do.
Oh, I have an app that hides my inbox from me.
Oh, called... send that to me. Well, yes. Yeah, oh, are we going to tell everybody?
Oh, yeah.
Is this a podcast where we do that?
It's called Inbox When Ready.
Hmm. Wow, that is cool.
It's like a Chrome extension,
that's,
I think.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Paula, why don't you like the Inbox Zero idea?
Oh, that just sounds like so much work.
Yeah, no, I agree.
It sounds like an enormous amount of work. And it also sounds like, at a certain point, feeling productive rather than being productive.
Faux happiness. Because I've got... Yeah. It's like on December 31st every year, I file email bankruptcy and I just delete all of the emails from the previous year. Bye.
Yeah.
If you didn't hear from
that
me.
That was the advice I got, OG, from a coach. I actually got a coach from coach.me. You see this company all over the place. And it was just coaching Inbox Zero. And I thought I wanted it. Very first thing this guy did, his name was Marshall, did was all the emails that are more than 2 weeks old, just delete them all. Because you would have done something about them if they were. And I went, no, I can't. And then I did. And it was fantastic.
And nothing happened.
And yes, I'm still here today. OG, which one lit you up? Which one do you find yourself nodding your head to?
Well, before this, I arbitrarily selected number 17 as the one that really spoke to me.
Without even looking.
So what's number 17, Joe?
What is it, OG?
So tell us what it is, Joe.
What it is, what is it, OG? We're going to make him actually look at this.
Number 17 is slow-mo your life. Whatever activity you're doing, slow down your movement. You'll notice an immediate calming effect. Your brain starts to process things better. Okay, that
one. You still like it?
Yeah. I mean, I think this kind of goes to the multitasking thing on a little bit, right? Like, if you're kind of doing, what's the phrase? Kind of be where you are. How many times do we start doing stuff, or we're with somebody, or we're, you know, whatever it is, we're like hanging out, you know, you're kind of looking across the room, or you're at an event and you're having a conversation with somebody and you're just wondering who else is around the corner that you get to talk to or something. It's like, just be where you are, kind of the stop and smell the roses type of thing, I think will make your life a lot easier for sure.
That was a great hack for me that technology companies are going to hate. I turned off all notifications. Mm-hmm. All notifications are off. Did you guys get inundated? I get inundated. You got to turn on your notifications. You're going to miss this and this. I'm like, yep, I'm going to miss all of it. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
I'll miss all of that. I don't love that one, OG, number 17, but I certainly like the one right below it. It doesn't have to be perfect. It does need to be started. You and I get coaching from the same organization, Strategic Coach, and they talk about the 80% solution. Don't wait until you've envisioned it 100% in your brain, because you'll never do anything. Get it 80%, then hand it off. Like, just let's just get it
moving.
Or
hand off the 80%, and then you only have the 20% that's left.
Yeah.
You know, either way.
Yeah, just get it going. Mom always says, don't let perfect be the enemy of good, and I think that one definitely resonates with me. Doc G, which one spoke to you?
So, not to throw shade at the conversation, but stop obsessing over productivity hacks. The truth of the matter is, I think we actually have to give ourselves a little grace.
Number 51 is the one that I liked on the 1 through 50 list.
No, but I mean, on some level, I think a lot of us got to the place we are by being super efficient. And occasionally in life, you have to let it go and realize that it's fine to do something a little bit inefficiently, and that's okay. And sometimes when you stop and smell the roses, other opportunities or things come along. And so I actually connect very much with that one.
Paula, you and I have had this conversation a lot, that in both the Stacking Benjamins community and the Afford Anything community, we just see so many people that are trying to opt. Oh, gee, you and I have talked about this a lot too. We just see people all the time that are trying. So they're so worried about optimization, they're just missing all the fun right in front of them.
Right. Right. Exactly. And sometimes optimizing creates unnecessary additional complexity, which then only creates more of the problem that you're trying to avoid.
I couldn't agree more. I think it's a great place to leave this first half. Second half, we're going to throw the rest of this in the trash. I just want to hear your productivity hacks. We're going to take a nod from Doc G and go, you know, we're not going to obsess with that list. Doc G, we're going to obsess with a different list. What do you guys like as productivity hacks? No more anti-productivity hacks, Doc. That's the only one you get. But before we do that, at the halfway mark of every Friday episode, we have a trivia competition between our three frequent contributors, which is OG, Paula, and Len Penzo. And Doc, you are playing on behalf of Team Penzo, and that means some good news and some bad news. Which one would you like first?
Give me the bad news.
The bad news is you have to guess first, which means...
I'm going to anchor everyone.
Darn it.
But I'm going to anchor them wrong. This is the problem. I anchor them way off.
For people that have never heard Doc G on this show as our frequent guest, he tends to guess slightly different than what the answer is. Slightly. slightly different. But the good news, though, Doc, is that you've got 10 points for Team Penzo, and OG with 7, and Paula not in last with 7 as well. Still, we are halfway through the year, and you still not in last place. I don't know what the hell's
fantastic.
Going on.
Fantastic. Tied for second.
What I'm doing here for Len is I'm giving the little guy a chance.
Yes.
Evening the score up a little bit.
Well, I hope not. I hope you're going to play this hard. By the way, I want to do a shout out to TJ. TJ's the guy, whenever a guest comes on, and you guys have all been on with people that ask this, do we do the Price is Right rules like we used to do? And TJ wrote me just to say, hey, I'm the guy who is in Florida who said that he didn't like it. And you keep calling me Danny. And then you realized you were getting my name wrong. So you just called me Florida Man. He's like, you can just, he said, you could just keep calling me Florida Man. So TJ, I realize you're not Danny now. Thank you for outing yourself. And I promised OG, we'd just get him some swag or a book if he, as an apology for maybe calling him either one of those things.
Okay.
You owe me like 6 apologies and I haven't gotten a shirt yet.
Well, you know, I mean, that's because we've been friends for so long. It's built into our relationship, I think.
Oh, is that it?
I think that's the deal. Also built into our relationship is you have the trivia question for everybody. So what do we got this week, Doug?
Hey there, Stackers. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug. And today we're talking about the 50 best life hacks in the world. And since we're on the topic, there were way more than 50 hacks during the French Revolution. I think that guillotine could do 50 an hour. What, too soon? Come on. It was just like at OG's house when he comes out in his underwear in front of his kids. They called it the Reign of Terror. And that's when thousands of people, including nobles, clergy, and even a fellow revolutionaries, were arrested and given the off with their heads treatment, including King Louis XVI and his let 'em eat cake queen, Marie Antoinette. Well, I bring this up not just because of the hacks reference, although that's pretty awesome, but because today is the anniversary of Bastille Day, which marks the storming of the Bastille prison in 1789, an event that marketers have decided symbolizes the French Revolution in a more positive light than the guillotine. Smart move, French marketing people. This truly is financial trivia because the storming of the Bastille was fueled by economic grievances against the monarchy like high taxes and food shortages. I understand their struggles because I'm dealing with my own economic shortages right here. Pay up, Joe!
Wow. That got hot.
Yeah, sorry, I got a little carried away there. The people want to be heard, though. In fact, that's just what the French wanted on Bastille Day. The attention of the oppressive monarchy and maybe some guns to arm their cause. But guns aren't the only thing they found stashed in the Bastille. My trivia question is, how many prisoners were in the Bastille when they stormed it? I'll be back right after I write down my demands. I got a crayon around here somewhere. And how do you spell cream brulee? Isn't that that? That's just, yeah, I want that stuff. Cream brulee.
So good, cream brulee. Paul, have you had cream brulee?
You know, I will avoid the temptation to correct the pronunciation. Right. But it's impossible to answer that question.
All right. Well, let's start off with Doc G answering the question. A different question then. Doc, how many prisoners were in the Bastille?
So I told myself if I didn't have any idea that my answer was going to be 1,512 before I even knew the question. And so I don't really have any idea, but I like that number. So 1,512 prisoners.
1,512 locked in. And because OG finished ahead of Paula last year, that means OG goes second.
Boom, 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 boom. How big were prisons back in the 1700s? That's really the question. How many cubits? I'm going to say, I have no idea. This is so dumb. 6,419.
6,519.
My answer's dumb. That's what I was saying. My answer's dumb. 6,419.
What was your number again? 6,419 or 6,519?
Well, now I want to know why that matters.
It matters.
Just need to know.
6,419 is what I said.
You sure you want to go with 6,419?
Okay. Is that your final answer?
6,419. We'll lock that in. Paula, you got a wide field goal there.
Yeah. So Doc G, it was 1,512. Was that yours? I'm going with 1,511.
Paula takes the lower. Yeah. You actually think it was less than 1,500 people.
Yeah. You know, when I heard the question, the number that popped into my head was 84. For no reason. That number just popped into my head. So I figured I would capture the downside.
Again, Paula, I tell you this every damn week, but you've gone with your gut every stinking week and it hasn't worked yet. But you just keep going. So maybe who knows? Maybe you're right this time.
Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
And she's going to practice it today. Yes. All right. Those are our answers. Man, they are all over the place. So we're going to give you the answer in just a couple minutes.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Doc, you started off with a number just over 1,000. What was his answer,
Doc? 12.
1512. How are you feeling now that Paula took the number below you?
All right. So I skewed lower, so I would not be surprised if it was less than that. But I went with my gut, too, and I like 1512. It sounds like a good number. It feels good.
Oh, gee, you're over 6,000. You're significantly higher than Paula. Paula's original thought was in the 80s.
I don't. I have no comment.
Not feeling great. And Paula, after Doug wanting to know if it was 6,400 or 6,500, you kind of avoided that completely.
Well, I just think that prisons probably didn't have that much capacity.
Well, we're about to find out, because Doug, I think you got the answer to this thing. Who's going home with the win this week?
Hey there, stackers. I'm oppressed employee and cake eater, Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug. And today we're slicing through a discussion about hacks and being productive. Three words that basically sum up the French Revolution and the guillotine. I know my history. I saw Les Miserables, something. Today marks a big day in French history and is known as Bastille Day, a day when the French people were fed up with food scarcity and taxes and got together and said something like, I'm just make something up top of my head, we're not gonna take it, we're not gonna take it. Anyway, you know what I mean. Then they proceeded to Jean-Claude Van Damme the hell out of the doors of the Bastille prison, finding both guns and inmates. My trivia question was this: just how many prisoners were in the Bastille when it was overtaken by the people? The answer? Well, as you know, you don't have to be right. You just have to be the least wrong. And we had some very, very big wrongness in these answers. Lots of wrongness. OG was off by just 6,412. Doc was off by 1,505. Paula was off by 1,504, because the answer is there were just 7 prisoners in the Bastille when it was stormed. Yes, 7. Look, I'm no warden. That's Joe's department here. But it seems like they could have just rented them all an Airbnb for a hell of a lot less money. But they probably lost their heads and overpaid on that huge building instead. So, congratulations to Paula.
Incredible. Does this mean Paula, I'm tied for first now?
No.
No.
Pump the brakes.
Darn.
No, you have 8. Len still has 10.
All right. Well, I'm firmly in second.
Why bother with only 7 prisoners? Like, couldn't they find something bigger and more grandstanding than to bail out 7 prisoners?
No, that was part of the thing.
It was the guns.
The thing was the guns, but also because they were really upset with monarchy wasting money, the Bastille actually held 5,280 prisoners. It's like a mile of prisoners.
And there you go. See?
That was a joke. So it held 5,280. They knew there were only 7 in there, and it was a representation of the excesses of the monarchy. So that's why they picked that building. And, oh, the guns were a nice side benefit.
It's amazing that Doug can't pronounce creme brulee, but he can tell us the back history of the Bastille.
I slept through a lot of history classes, and some of it sunk in.
Just incredible. Something else incredible is that the second half of this conversation is brought to you by DepositAccounts.com. Doc G, you know what happens when you go to DepositAccounts.com?
What happens? I have no idea.
Well, you go like this. You put in DepositAccounts.com. You hit return like I am now, and we're slightly ahead, so you're going to want to go check it yourself. But the national average on savings accounts is 0.41%. The top 1% of savings accounts paying 4.41% as of this recording. CDs, national average 3.47%. Deposit accounts says top 1% averaging 5.4%. You do a lot better on savings, CDs, checking, and money markets If you just let them compete head to head, see what the top 1% is. You'll find them all at depositaccounts.com. All right. You're going to find here in the second half of this discussion that we are talking not about this list, but about your favorite things to stay productive. Paula, when we talk about productivity, your best Paula Pant productivity hack.
You know, I think delineating when you're working and when you're not, having some firm boundaries around that, that can help, you know, it helps you focus when you're at work and then turn off when you're not. And there are various ways to make that happen. It could be that you have a dedicated office that's separate from your home. I think that's ideal. It might be that you have just a dedicated space in your home that, like, all you do when you're in that space is work. It could be specific times of day. It could even be like an article of clothing, like these are my work pants, you know? Whatever it is, I think there needs to be some containers that demarcate I'm on, I'm off.
Well, oh, gee, I know you second that one, right? I mean, you've even got different days of the week that where you do different tasks.
I feel like there's such a great joke there about these are my work pants. And I'm trying to really put it together. Like, the fact that I'm wearing pants today means I'm working. Check it out. Otherwise, I would be pantless.
Otherwise, it's the reign of terror again.
Otherwise, it's the reign of terror all over again. Yeah, I mean, we talk about it in free days and focus days are types of, you know, different types of work times. I also have the space. And as a signal to me, when I'm done, I don't, you know, everybody thinks I close the doors so the kids don't get in or the cat or something. No, it's for me to say I'm done for the day. I close the door. And, you know, it's the old school, you know, the shopkeep like locks the door and walks home. And that's kind of my signal to myself, like, okay, I'm done for the day. I'm not going back into this room. I don't care what happens.
It's funny. There was a mentor I had a long time ago who said the laziest solution you can come up with is to expand the time box. It's to take that box of time I'm going to work on a task and I just make it bigger. And next thing you know, it's just all consuming and you're getting next to nothing done. Actually, the better hack is to shrink the time box because then you find your efficiency in that. Doc G, your favorite hack?
So I create different environments which put me in the zone for the things I'm about to do. So for instance, I have my environment in which I podcast, a certain place I sit with the mic in front of me, with the lighting just so. And when I create that environment, I find that it takes my brain to that place where I'm do a really good job at doing that thing. Another thing, for instance, is if I'm writing, like I have a specific desk and a place I like to write. And so I found that by creating these different environments for activities that I really want to be deeply concentrated in, if I recreate that environment, it gets me there immediately to the point where I can be very productive right away because I'm in that environment. I've created that environment for myself. So it's really easy to slip in and out of doing kind of major work.
Is anybody else thinking of Doc right now like Sheldon from Big Bang Theory, where he always had to sit in the one specific spot and nobody else could be there? And it's because that spot had the best view of and all of that stuff. I think I'm getting a
Doc
picture.
G's
here,
got
Doc.
His chair. You got your chair.
Yeah.
Do you tell the family that, Doc?
Yeah. No one else can sit in this chair. Yeah. For
this
sure.
This is Dad's chair. Well, that really, though, OG's the same thing you're really saying by closing the door on the space, right? Kind of what Doc G's saying. You've got your spot that you do the thing and then you leave that spot.
Yeah, kind of. I do move around a little bit depending on the environment. You know, I'll work from different places in the house because we work from home. You know, but podcasting is always in the same place, obviously in the basement, but other stuff, you know, I'll sit outside or do whatever. So I'm not the in the zone type of person, but I do always have music on. So that's kind of that's a trigger for me also, like something in the background.
I have Doc thinking about what you said and how much that resonates with me that I have different spots where I do different type of work. And then if I'm still not getting it done, I just can't get my brain to work. I will break that rule and go work from somewhere else on purpose. And I find often that'll get rid of the block that I have too. So I totally do what you're talking about. And then I break it on purpose on a bad day.
Is that
day.
Why you go to movie theaters all the time in the middle of the day, Joe? Are you working at the movie theater?
That's right. Break the block.
Working.
I go work in the afternoon to become on block. Yes. OG, your favorite productivity hack?
Sleep. Yeah. Sleep is my favorite thing to do. Almost. I think that just having a schedule.
My second favorite thing to do.
After podcasting, of course.
Yes.
After podcasting, of course.
Of course.
Second-ish favorite thing. My first-ish favorite thing. But we spend so much time, especially if you're creative, you spend so much time always kind of on, and you have to have a rhythm to, you know, when it's time to shut it down. And, you know, from a health standpoint, we know that sleep is a super key component to longevity. Having that pattern of like, it's kind of always the same. You know, my phone goes off at 8 o'clock, like in terms of, you know, it goes on do not disturb at 8. At 9:30, I get ready and go to bed. You know, it's like, this is the same rhythm of the day. And when it gets kind of fouled up along the way, you can feel it. Your body isn't right. Your mind's not right. You know, there's all the domino effects to that. And so if you want to have a great day or a great week, you got to set that up. And, you know, you see people who have their work schedule during the week, and then on the weekends, they stay up till 2 a.m. or something like that. It just takes forever. Sorry about that. This is my travel microphone. Apologies.
I also can't keep it up.
Ouch. Thanks, Paula. That's exactly what I needed today, was that from you.
We talked about OG not being in in the basement, and he just knocked over the pile of books.
I appreciate that. Anyways, so yeah, I'm one way or the other, basically, is what Paula said. So
Paula, does it surprise you that when I asked all three of you, and I know all three of you well enough, that you are three incredibly productive people. You get a lot of stuff done, but everybody's stuff, Paula, was not about being productive. It was about shutting it off between sleep and having the time box only be so big on your end, and Doc G having, I've got these places where I work and the places where I don't. Does that surprise you that all three of you focused on not being productive?
That's a good observation. I think what that speaks to is the notion that, as you said, many people think that productivity is simply putting in more hours. Because hours are an easy metric. They're quantifiable, right? You can track it, and therefore you can kind of pretend that that's what matters. But I think when you focus on being results-oriented rather than being hourly-oriented, then the game changes. And so the focus on shutting it off, they're all tactics that get you to think in a more results-oriented manner rather than in a time-oriented manner.
Let's talk about that a little bit, because that speaks to preparation. And I'd love to know how each of you prep for a great week. For me, the key is Sunday night. Sunday night, if I'm going to have a great week, I sit down and I plot it all out in my head, and I'm not thinking Monday morning. You know, Monday morning, I can just get in there and start doing it. Doc, for you, what's the preparation key to being productive?
I think there are a few things that make me productive and happy throughout the week. One is that I have certain unmovable time commitments that make up the structure or framework of my week. So I know that there's certain things I'm going to be doing. For instance, every Thursday I have a meeting from 9 to 12. And so knowing that there's these guideposts to the week actually is feels very good to me, because then I know where the unstructured time is. So I like to have these moments of work, but then also have lots of unstructured time, because I think, as we were talking about before, it's actually when you turn it off, I find, especially hopefully as someone, I define myself as a creative, when I turn it off is actually when I come to some of my most interesting thoughts, ideas, and processes. It's when my brain is kind of wandering and I'm not being quote unquote productive, when I come up with my best ideas, and then I can then fit into working on those during those productive time periods.
OG, how about for you? How do you prepare to be most productive?
That's a really great question, because I do no preparation for it. And I knew that you knew that, which is funny that you asked that. But I particularly don't pay any attention to anything on Sundays, because of the fact that I want it to still continue to be a free day. You know, I want that day to be clear. I just do what other people tell me to do. Like Doc, I've got the different time blocks of time. Like, okay, I know that, you know, we're going to do the show at this time, or I know that we're going to have client meetings at this time, or have one-on-ones with team people at this time. But the rest of it is pretty well open for other people to tell me what to do. And that's intentional, because Doc, like you, I think all of us have a bunch of creativeness. And if we've got the space to be creative, that's where we do our best work. Our best work is not doing the thing. It's thinking up the thing and then handing it off to somebody else to do the thing. And so we have to have that space to be able to think up the thing, basically, whatever it is, and then, you know, and then assign it out to other parts of the team. So my best use is not to be sitting at a desk pounding out emails. It's to be thinking up stuff. Like, that's the best use of my time.
Yeah, but the reason I asked you that actually is just in my experience, long-term working with you, is that your preparation then, and you had it in your answer, and for people that didn't hear it, your preparation is surrounding yourself with the right people, because you've got people that can set up that agenda in a way, and you've helped them set up the agenda in a way that you can make sure that you're as productive as possible, which really for the leader of an organization, I think is super important. You're only going to go as far as those people around you. And obviously that's deliberate.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
And that's why we're here, Joe.
And that's why you guys are there.
Just serve OG. That's exactly what
happens. If more of the world knew that, life would be a lot easier for everybody.
Yeah. It's almost like, Doug, that we were having a holiday party at my house one year when I was a financial planner, and the spouse of someone that worked with me, I was telling him about just how I had the cat trained, because I knew when the cat wanted to go outside, I knew when the cat wanted to eat. And the dude guy, Rick, looks at me and goes, "No, dude, you're trained."
That's right.
Cat is not trained. Cat's trained you. Right. I'm like, oh my God, you're right. Which OG has trained us, Doug. He's trained us.
God, I didn't even feel it happening.
I know.
That's what they all say.
Paul, how about for you? Preparation.
You know, I guess there's a difference between what I would like to do and what I actually do. What I actually do is nothing. What I would like to do is at the beginning of my week, and I have like a handful of monthly planners that have kind of sat empty. But at the beginning of my week, ideally what I would like to do is sit down and chart out like what are the major things that I want to accomplish this week. It's that starting with the end in mind and then backtracking from there. All right, what do I want to accomplish each specific day in order to get to that end of week goal? So in theory, that's what I would be doing if I was a better version of myself.
Are any of those planners from 2022?
Yes, in fact. Let's see.
I meant 2020 not 2022.
Here's November 2022, and then let's see, we got May. Yeah. But you know, I can just reuse them this year.
It's yeah, fine. That's right. Every fine. What?
And then
how often till the dates repeat where like the fourth of a month is on a Tuesday? Like if you just wait long enough, you'll have that. Then you just X out the 31st because that month doesn't have the 31st. Cross out May and put July or whatever it is, and you're good.
I'll cycle back, and then I'll totally miss that it's leap year, you know?
It's the true circle of life, circle of the calendar life. Yeah, Doug?
When it says it's Sunday in the planner, but it's really a Tuesday, she just doesn't show up to do anything that day because the planner says it's Sunday, I'm off.
It's Sunday.
It's my Sunday. Yes, every day's like Sunday, to quote Morrissey. I think that's a great, when I'm doing Morrissey quotes, it's time to end the podcast. So let's go ahead and find out what's going on. Paul has no idea who Morrissey even is.
Is that Jim Morrison?
Different guy. Okay. I'll explain it later. But for now, let's find out what's going on where you guys are. We'll have our special guest, Doc G, go last. OG, what you got going on this weekend, man?
Great question. Not a lot of anything. We finished a couple weeks up in Michigan, and I think the family is still up there. They haven't reported in lately, so I think they're still okay. And then me and my oldest son.
Does that sound suspicious, Doug? He's like, I left my family in Northern Michigan. I haven't heard from them. I have no idea what might have happened.
Some of the family.
You didn't realize this is a true crime podcast.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right.
The good news is we're all going to be famous. They're like, here's when he went on the podcast and pretended he had no idea.
I don't have anything else to add.
Now he feels like he's on a witness stand and he better stop talking.
He pleads the fifth.
That's it. Paula, what's happening at the Afford Anything podcast?
Oh, at the Afford Anything podcast. Well, you and I answer audience questions, Joe, and we have just started putting videos on YouTube, like actual videos. We've uploaded audio to YouTube for years, but we are now finally starting to upload actual videos of our actual faces. So,
which is our version of the Reign of Terror, right there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, internet, these are our faces.
Here it comes. Yes. Only at the Afford Anything podcast and now YouTube channel. Well, like you said, YouTube channel has been around for a long time. But
yeah, exactly. YouTube.com/AffordAnything.
With video.
With video. Now
Doc
with video.
Doc G, thanks for, can you see that splash? Now with video. Doc G, thanks for hanging out with us again, man.
It's always a pleasure to be here. Always a pleasure, Joe.
I'm excited that even though you were off by well over 1,000 on your trivia answer, you only lost by one.
And, like that's something better than usual.
Something like, to be very, very proud
I'm
of.
I'm usually off by hundreds of thousands. So just a few thousand here and there, no big deal.
It's fantastic, my friend. What's going on at Earn and Invest?
Well, actually, this morning I asked ChatGPT, and this is what it came up with. It said, join us for thought-provoking conversation that empowers you to earn and invest wisely, shaping your future while making informed decisions today. So that is what we are doing on Earn and Invest.
Wow.
Right out of the mouth of ChatGPT. I couldn't describe it any better. We also have Ava Juergens on this week. She started at the age of 15 investing in real estate, bought her first property, set up a complex deal where her parents paid for a certain percentage and she paid for another percentage. She's now 18. She makes over six figures in her own digital marketing company. She finished high school at the age of 17 and is not going to college.
An underachiever?
Yeah, that's obnoxious. Nobody needs that in this world.
And her goal is to be a billionaire.
Well, she's on the track.
Most definitely.
She's on the track. And that's a conversation with Ava on the Earn and Invest podcast. That's fascinating. I would love to hear how she bought stuff at 15. It's amazing.
Well, you know how you can hear about that, Joe.
Yep. Not on the Stitcher app. Don't go to the Stitcher app.
You can listen to Earn and Invest on wherever you listen to fine podcasts.
Last thing, Stackers, as you listen to this, after this weekend on Monday, the 17th, I will be in Minneapolis. And I still, as we record this, because I'm about to leave, so we're recording this a little early. I don't know where, but we are having a meetup in Minneapolis at either 6 or 6:30. This is very...
Just drive around town. You might pump into
you
us.
You will eventually find it. There'll be a drunk guy pouring himself out of a taxi cab at a hotel. He'll definitely want
write to me. Go, Joe, either it'll be posted in the basement. You'll hear about it in the 201 newsletter. If you don't want to join our Facebook group and you don't want to get our newsletter, then just email me, joe@stackybenjamins.com, and say, where is it going to be in Minneapolis? So with all those specifics, join me in Minneapolis. And on Tuesday, I will be somewhere in Des Moines, Iowa. It's easier to search for me in Des Moines, Iowa on Tuesday because it's not nearly as big a city as Minneapolis, St. Paul. So yeah, drive around Des Moines. But again, I will... I'll let you know.
Joe, you have like a red and white striped shirt on because you're doing a Where's Waldo?
I will. I'll be the guy out in front of the microbrewery spinning the card, you know?
This is how I got invited to every party in high school. The party's just going to be in that western part of the neighborhood.
Somewhere.
You'll find us. You'll probably find us, Doug. Don't just give it a try.
Yes. We'll post it in the Facebook group. We will also have it in the 201 newsletter. And like I said, email me, joe@stackybenjamins.com if you're anywhere near Minneapolis or you're near Des Moines. So that is what's going on with me. It's going on with all you guys. We'll also link to everything that is going on at Afford Anything and Earn and Invest on our show notes page at stackybenjamins.com. All right, Doug, you got it from here, man. What should we have learned today?
Well, Joe, first, take some advice from our panel of so-called experts and use productivity hacks to save yourself time and accomplish your goals. Second, can't decide which life hack will have the greatest impact? Take a lesson from OG and just arbitrarily pick number 17 from a list on the internet. The point is, just get started. It doesn't have to be perfect. It just needs to be an incremental improvement. Got the big lesson? Joe's mom doesn't think it's funny when you celebrate Bastille Day by kicking in her front door. Next year, she suggested I just get some macaroons and wine instead. Kind of wish I thought of that. Thanks to Doc G for joining us today. You can check out his amazing podcast, Earn and Invest, wherever you're listening to me right now. We'll also include links in our show notes at stackingbenjamins.com. Thanks to Paula Pant for hanging out with us today. You'll find Paula's fabulous podcast, Afford Anything, wherever finer podcasts are found. This show is the property of SB Podcasts, LLC, copyright 2023, and is created by Joe Salcihot. Our producer is Karen Repine. This show was written by Lacey Langford, who's also the host of the Military Money Show, with help from me, Joe, and Doc G from the Earn and Invest podcast. Kevin Bailey helps us take a deeper dive into all the topics covered on each episode in our newsletter called The 201. You'll find The 411 on all things money at The 201. Just visit stackingbenjamins.com/201. Tina Eichenberg makes the video version of this show. Once we bottle up all this goodness, we ship it to our engineer, the amazing Steve Stewart. Steve helps the rest of our team sound nearly as good as I do right now. Want to chat with friends about the show later? Mom's friend Gertrude and Kate Youngkin are our social media coordinators, and Gertrude is the room mother in our Facebook group called The Basement. So, say hello when you see us posting online. To join all the basement fun with other stackers, type stackingbenjamins.com/basement. Not only should you not take advice from these nerds, don't take advice from people you don't know. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any financial decisions, speak with a real financial advisor. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and we'll see you next time back here at the Stacking Benjamin Show.
What do you suppose they call that? A novelty act?
I don't know, but it wasn't too bad.
Well, that's a novelty.
I hadn't been to a wedding in a long time. I've been to a couple of receptions, but hadn't been to the ceremony in a while. But we're getting into that age where all our friends' kids, Paula might be at a car crash. Earthquake in New York City, Paula?
dealing with a mic that won't stay attached to a table. BRB.
Can't get the mic to stay up. Okay, got it. Yeah, heard about those problems.
If the mic stays up for longer than 4 hours, I'd have to do something different.
Anyway, the officiant of the wedding was the bride's sister. She did an incredible job, but it was very casual, but she really did do a great job. But
she's more of an MC.
I think that surprised everybody. What's that?
She was more of an MC.
Yeah. She really sort of rode that line right between a little bit of like, I got my officiant thing on the internet for, you know, but then now I'm your sister. She went back and forth. So she balanced that well. And there were a couple of little stumbles and she handled that with grace. So that was all good. But she did have the bride and groom do a shot of vodka on the altar.
Sure, Jesus approved.
Is this, well, it was non-denominational, but I thought, is this what weddings are nowadays? And then they wrote their vows, which everybody does now. And instead of vows, you know, I pledge this or I will or I won't or whatever. It was just sort of like the, here's the story of us. Like you'd write in the back of a yearbook. It's like that time we went to the Kentucky Fried Chicken was awesome. And I knew I loved you when, and it was just, it just felt different. So Josh with his ice water made me think of
love,
vodka, love and the vodka
and
shots
needing
on
a
the
shot
altar.
Of vodka to get married. Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard about a wedding. You know, the tradition of icing someone when you hide a Smirnoff ice.
Yeah.
In a random place,
my son
and then
did
whoever
that.
Finds it has to.
To me.
Yeah.
I don't know this.
So
Tell me more.
Heard once about a wedding where the woman had it tucked into her garter belt. The bride had it tucked into her garter belt. So moment that the groom like lifts up the skirt to like pull off the garter to throw it into the crowd, he gets iced.
That's funny. Actually, that's pretty good.
Did you see, by the way, Paula, that Carrie in our Facebook group, The Basement, Spindrift now has a hard Spindrift. Speaking of Smirnoff Ice, there's hard Spindrift
now. Her face light up.
I know. The world just shifted for
Paula.
You
might need a 12-step program, Paula.
Wow. The official drink of the Stacking Benjamins podcast.
Well, it's actually, I think, more Afford Anything, right? Because I sabotaged you that day at Afford Anything. So it truly is. Really, we're mixing metaphors for people that don't know what's going on. I one day horrified Paula because I brought out a Spindrift and I did all this advertising for Spindrift, which was not appreciated by Paula, and also not
it's not a sponsor.
She wasn't getting paid for it. And the more she hated it, the more I went on about the delicious flavor and about the wonderful taste. And so Steve Stewart at a conference we went to brought us like Spindrifts every hour on the hour, the entire conference.
Yeah. And then when we went on book tour, a handful of fans brought us Spindrifts.
Yes.
Tucker iced me, my oldest son, but I think he was like a freshman in college or a sophomore in college. He iced me, but after he'd been driving my car. So all I knew was he'd been driving my car. I get in, look in the glove box for something, and there's an ice in the glove box. And I went off on him because I didn't know, like it didn't occur to me that my kid was icing me. I kind of knew what it was, but I didn't put two and two together and think, oh, he's playing a practical joke. All I can think of is he's been...
That was just his quick thinking. That wasn't a thing. He's the one that started it. He's like, dear internet, let me tell you how I got out of getting my ass kicked by my dad.
I never thought of that, Josh. That is a great point. That could have just been him getting out of it.
Yeah. Dude, no, Dad. No. This was a joke I was playing on you. You're supposed to drink it.
16-year-olds exactly around the country are learning something, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly how the conversation went, too. And I was reading him the Riot Act. And he was like, but no.
You guys have seen people get iced. Have you ever seen somebody get umbrellaed? Doc G and I saw a woman get umbrellaed at a restaurant in Chicago, just over a week ago?
What is that?
A week and a half ago.
What is umbrella?
Getting umbrellaed is where you have your drink and it doesn't have an umbrella in it, but it's super windy out. And the umbrella at the table next to you comes over and slams you in the face when it gets picked up by the wind.
Yeah.
Like that. almost impales you, but thankfully it didn't.
Yeah. Wow. That woman was not happy.
Did she get a free drink?
Talk about Doug not being happy. Yeah, when he got iced. That woman was very unhappy when she got umbrellaed. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. One more thing. Sorry. Because of YouTube, when Dana and Paula did this naturally last time and Tina really liked it. When they announce your name, make sure you look at the camera and wave. Because that was
when
cool.
When they announce your name.
When they. When when that voice from above.
I have pronouns and it's not they, Joe. Your hole is so f-ing deep right now. Not letting you out of that one.
Steve, keep that as a blooper at the end.
Great.
Well, this show's over, Stackers, but you know what? It's Military Appreciation Month, and that means that we've got time still for a shout out to members of our community, members of our family who have served our country. And you know what? Today I want to give a shout out to two of my uncles, my Uncle Henry, who is in the Army. Let's do three. My Uncle Eddie, who is in the Army, and my Uncle Bill, also in the Army. And two of them served in Vietnam. One served in Korea. And a big thanks to all three of my uncles, my dad's brothers, who served like he did in the military. And this Military Appreciation Month, Navy Federal Credit Union wants to celebrate not just my uncles, but they want to celebrate their members who go above and beyond. Navy Federal offers member-only exclusive rates, discounts, and tools to empower their members and help them reach their goals. Of course, you may be eligible for Navy Federal membership and you don't even know it because it's open to all branches of the military, veterans, DOD employees, and their families. They're all eligible, and I want to reiterate, and their families. If you have family, like I do, who served in the military, well, then you're eligible for Navy Federal membership. Navy Federal's employees are part of the community they serve, and many of them are military family members, reservists, or veterans. Here during Military Appreciation Month, Stackers, go visit NavyFederal.org/celebrate, and you're going to see all of Navy Federal's Military Appreciation Month offers so many cool things they're doing for veterans. You'll also see all their other awesome 24/7, 12 months of the year offers. That's NavyFederal.org/celebrate. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.